Sunday marked the 31st annual World AIDS Day, and while the medical community has made major strides towards reducing instances of the disease, we're still living in a world where 37.9 million people across the world are living with HIV or AIDS. In 2012, the Food and Drug Administration approved a new medicine, Truvada, for pre-exposure prophylaxis, also known as PrEP. And when taken regularly, the treatment reduces the chances of getting HIV in people that haven't yet been exposed to the virus. In the years since it came to market, it's been hailed as a game changer in the global fight against AIDS. But the cost of access means hundreds of thousands of people in the United States alone can't afford the treatment. And a recent CDC study found that this gap is especially pronounced among people of color. To help us understand why is Christopher Rowland, a healthcare and business reporter at The Washington Post. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So let's talk a little bit about who funded the research for Truvada, or behind Truvada for PrEP. How did this drug come to be?
So Truvada was an existing drug for the treatment of people who already have HIV. Developed by Gilead Sciences, a San Francisco-based company that, you know, researched and developed the drug and got FDA approval for it in the early 2000s. As the drug was coming onto the market, the government, the Centers for Disease Control, began researching ways to for a preventative drug to prevent HIV from taking hold in a person who is sexually active. And so the government actually invented the use of this existing drug for prevention. And so that's really the key right now, is for people trying to halt the spread of HIV, is to get more people taking the drug of Truvada for prevention, Truvada for PrEP.
So just to be clear, does the U.S. government own the patent on the drug, but it's Gilead Sciences that makes the money, the $3 billion in sale of Truvada in 2018?
That's right. So Truvada holds the patent for the chemicals that are in the drug and the drug as it's used for treatment of AIDS and HIV. But the government has the patent for the prevention application of the drug. You know, the government researched that using CDC monkeys in Atlanta. They spent years testing it, making sure that it would work. It's remarkably effective, it turns out, at preventing HIV. So it's really an important drug. And so the government does hold those patents, and that has led to a dispute.
Tell us a little bit about that dispute, because, you know, we're talking really about cost here, aren't we?
So Gilead has refused to recognize the government's patents for Truvada for PrEP, and that has been a major bone of contention now for several years. The government didn't really do much to try to enforce its patent for the first several years. But then this year, it finally decided that it had had enough and filed a patent infringement lawsuit against Gilead. You know, advocates say the government needs to be more aggressive here because the government could extract royalties and other benefits that could be used to get Truvada spread more widely. You know, it needs to be out there in the population more to try to halt the spread of HIV and AIDS.
What does it cost to make a month's supply of Truvada for PrEP, and how much is it being sold for by Gilead?
Honestly, it costs pennies per pill to make a pharmaceutical. Once you have everything set up, you have all the research and development done, you have the approvals, Gilead and other distributors, they do distribute Truvada for PrEP in Africa and other countries for literally a few dollars a month. Here in the United States, the price is closer to approaching $2,000 a month, or around, you know, between $20,000 and $24,000 a year. And so that's where, you know, many advocates say Gilead is now gouging the consumers and gouging the government and insurers and charging too much for the drug. And that's why they really want the government to use its patent as leverage to try to drive that price down or to extract concessions from Gilead so that Truvada for PrEP could be more widely used.
We mentioned also at the top that there are really a small percentage of Americans who can actually access the drug because of that cost. I'm not sure if that's something that would be covered by insurance or not, but still a $2,000 a month cost is, I'm sure many Americans would agree, is outrageous. Who are the folks that are unable to access this drug?
Well, that's a complicated question because it gets into a lot of cultural issues as well as, you know, financial. It's not purely a financial equation. Certainly, people who have insurance and they live in urban areas where there's ready access to Truvada for PrEP are, you know, have the best access and they can get the drug and they can afford it. But, you know, a lot of people who are at risk of contracting HIV don't have insurance. So, you know, state Medicaid programs do pay for it. But again, people might not be plugged into Medicaid. They might be living in ways that make them hard to, you know, get connected with healthcare. And also culturally, there's, especially in the South, and you mentioned in the intro and among African Americans, there's a lot of stigma for being gay. A lot of people are still in the closet. It's not even safe for them to be out in some of these communities. And so going to the CVS and getting Truvada for PrEP is not really an option for them. So it's been hard to get Truvada to all the people who need it.
Are there any efforts by, you mentioned Medicaid covers this, but are there any other efforts by the U.S. government to try and make Truvada more widely available, accessible, or even, you know, penetrating communities that, or really getting access to communities that that may be resistant?
Yes, for sure. So the CDC and the, you know, and the Trump administration has made a very ambitious goal of trying to eradicate HIV within the next decade or so. And as part of that, they have struck a deal with Gilead that's separate from their whole patent dispute to donate free Truvada for PrEP so that the government can then figure out how to distribute it for free. Still, it's not, you know, going to be enough drugs to meet the government's goals, but it will be a start.
Christopher Rowland is a business reporter for The Washington Post. Christopher, thanks for your reporting.
Thank you very much.
According to the CDC, in 2017, southern states made up a disproportionate number of new HIV diagnoses compared to other sections of the country. And beyond hurdles to access HIV treatment, there are stigmas and misconceptions surrounding the disease that create an additional challenge for many people living with HIV and AIDS. Here with us now is Cedric Sturdivant, an outreach coordinator at the AIDS Services Coalition. Cedric, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
So you were diagnosed with HIV, and I'm curious, what were the reactions to your diagnoses from people around you at the time?
Well, I was diagnosed in March of 2005. At the time of my diagnosis, there was only one other person that knew, and that was my partner. So at this point, I was kind of afraid to tell family or anyone else because I didn't know much about HIV or AIDS other than the stigma that surrounded it and how people living with HIV or AIDS was getting treated. And I didn't want to get that treatment because I was really afraid to tell my family or anybody else.
Let's talk a little bit about that stigma. What, I mean, I grew up in an era when I remember the first AIDS cases were being reported in the late 1980s with these stereotypes at the time that were just very pervasive. But we're now in 2019. What are the stigmas today, Cedric?
Well, I'm going to talk about Mississippi, where I'm at. The biggest stigma is the fact that people are, even though it's been such a long time, they're still kind of uneducated about the disease. You know, there's this strange that when we go out and do presentations, especially with young people, we still hear that, you know, you can get it from mosquitoes. And being in a Bible Belt state, you got stigma surrounding the LGBTQ community. So that kind of carries over into a person living with HIV or people being afraid to get tested. Simply because people will think that if you get tested, people think that you're doing something wrong. That's why you're getting tested. You still get shamed in a sense, or you may feel like you're getting shamed. If you like going to a clinic and there's a clinic where people know that's where people living with HIV go, and you may not even be going for that. So all of that actually kind of plays a part. And the bottom line is that we need more education around the disease, especially in the area that I'm in, which is called the Mississippi Delta, which is basically one of the poorest areas in our state.
I was going to ask you about education because, again, at the beginning of the crisis back in the late 1980s, one of the things that was so prevalent was education and trying to educate the community on how to protect yourself and, you know, really breaking down these stigmas that you can't get it from this or from that or from whatever. And, it, you know, if you hug somebody who is HIV positive, that's not going to pass that on to you. What is the state of HIV and AIDS education today, Cedric?
I want to say it's kind of like very much needed because we've gotten away from it in a sense to the fact that most people thinking that HIV is not an issue anymore. We've come up with all the new biomedical interventions and what have you, but we're not reaching the community as far as education on that to let them know that there are, you know, a lot of medication or whatever to prevent from contracting HIV and also for those that's living with HIV to live a healthy life. So that information is not getting out, especially here in our state, not as it should. It mostly get out in the metropolitan area, but the rural areas of our state is not getting out. So people really don't know that information. They may see a commercial on TV, and that's it, but they're not getting the full education about that.
At the same time, you mentioned your work is mostly focused on the Mississippi Delta area. HIV rates are rising quickly in that area. What has been the most challenging part of your work so far?
The most challenging part is actually getting people to come out and get tested. We have at the office at here in the area I'm at, we do free testing. People are kind of like, Just afraid. And especially if we're looking at and not targeting the black gay men, but if we look at black gay men, there's nowhere for them actually to frequent here. There's no clubs or bars in this area. A lot of them are still kind of afraid to be themselves in this area. And it's so widespread. Before we came here a year and a half ago, there was really no community-based organization that was doing prevention work or the education work in the areas, mostly just clinics.
Let's talk a little bit about prevention. Condoms used to be the gold standard, if you will, in talking about prevention. And now, today, we have PrEP and Truvada on the market for those who are not infected with HIV or AIDS. What is the range of preventative measures that you're seeing? Are people still talking about condoms? Are people aware of PrEP or Truvada?
People are still talking about condoms for sure. But as far as PrEP and PEP, there's not a big awareness in the rural areas. As I mentioned, when we go out and do preventions, we went to a college, a community college, a couple of months ago. And when we asked the students there, do they know about PrEP or do they know what PrEP is? And to be honest, probably out of a class of 20 something, we probably had about 5 people that raised their hand. And that information that they got about PrEP was through a commercial on television. So, like I said, the education for these preventive methods are not getting to the community, especially in the rural areas, like they should. Of course, we do talk condom, even if we talk PrEP, we talk condoms, and we pass out condoms, and we have a safety delivery package where they can order the condoms themselves. But still, in these areas, we have to educate them on the proper way to use condoms as well. And a lot of times, especially young men, they just want the name brand condoms like Trojans or Magnums or what have you. And we have to explain to them that the lifestyle condoms are just as good as those condoms.
Cedric, there was a recent study conducted by Merck, which is a company that manufactures drugs for HIV treatment. And they found that almost 1/3 of millennials have a deep stigma against people with HIV, including not even wanting to hug them. Are you surprised at that finding?
I'm not, especially in rural areas, simply because it goes back to education. it's not being done like it was done, I would say 13 years ago when I first entered into the field of doing this work. So I'm not surprised by that. When I go on some of the websites, I will see people say, in a sense, I don't want to talk to nobody that's HIV positive. So, no, I'm not surprised by that. That probably is very accurate.
Cedric Sturdivant is an outreach coordinator at the AIDS Services Coalition. Thank you so much, Cedric.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.